as we come together on this evening within singing that song and thinking about that city. It will be a wonderful, wonderful, glorious day to get to the city where the roses never fade. We must, as long as we're here upon this earth, do what we can in order to be pleasing unto God. The place in which Jesus went to prepare is a place where many desire to spend their eternity. Sad to say, there are so many that will not make it. And as we think about that, think about the ones that we have lost to death, that died without the Lord. We can't change that. But the ones that are still living, that have strayed away from the fold for one reason or another, forgetting why our Lord and our Savior died, forgetting His request upon the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing when they parted His garments, or cast lots for His garments, shall I say. I believe that as I think about this, it brings to mind Brother Theotis, who two or three Sundays ago asked for forgiveness from anyone that he has offended. And on the same, he would like for those that he has offended to come to him so that he may forgive you. Forgiveness is something that many have a problem with, and not so much as forgiving themselves, forgiving others, but forgiving themselves for something that they have done wrong. Jesus is very clear on the subject of forgiveness, that we forgive because we have been forgiven. We forgive with the intent of being forgiven. We forgive because, again, this is what Jesus Christ asked on mankind's behalf. Just because someone asks for forgiveness doesn't necessarily mean, or just because someone forgives doesn't mean that someone has been forgiven until that person asks for forgiveness, will their sins be forgiven. Don't ask me to repeat that, Brother Theonopoulos. But it's going to be the same regardless. If you ask, you shall receive. If you don't ask, it will not be given to you. So forgiveness is the key, the power of forgiveness. We have that power within us to forgive others as others forgive us, as God has forgiven all that ask of Him. God forgives. So must we. Is that too hard to understand? God forgives, so must we. I don't want to. I don't like him. I don't like her. If they ask you to forgive them, it doesn't matter whether or not you like them or not. Forgive them, go on about your business. God's forgiveness is our pattern. Our pattern. We were talking the other day, Brother Mark and I, on the radio program about the divine pattern. Brother Shelton called into the radio station, and when I mentioned about that person that was sowing and had a pattern in which they go by, it wasn't Brother Shelton, but it was his wife who does some sowing. She does those things hopefully by a pattern. She may do some things and she just throw something together, and then it's her own pattern. But generally, when a person is sowing and they're putting together something, they do it by a pattern. So when we start talking about forgiveness, we have to know that there is a divine pattern that we must follow in order to be pleasing to God. I believe a year or so ago, maybe last year, that we talked about forgiveness. We can talk about forgiveness every year. And every time we talk about forgiveness, some of the same scriptures are going to be used, because we need to understand that God's word does not change. If forgiveness was in effect then, and his word hasn't changed, it's in effect now. So we must forgive. Ephesians chapter 4 and the verse is 32. Ephesians chapter 4 and the verse is 32. We start talking about forgiveness. We're going to use God's word so that we may understand what we're supposed to do in order to be pleasing to God. We can be Christ-like. We must be Christ-like in order to be pleasing unto God. Be ye holy because he is holy. Ephesians 4:32. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Do you need me to lay it out for you what God has forgiven you of? Let's just say past sins. He's forgiven us of those past sins when we became children of his. Now there are some sins that have been committed since we have become Christians, and if we have not asked for forgiveness for those sins still lie within us. So we need to ask for forgiveness. But here Paul is telling the church of Ephesus, you forgive one another as God in Christ forgave you. Again, it is something that somebody must do in order for them to have. You want to be forgiven? Ask for forgiveness. You want to be forgiven? Forgive. It is very clear, isn't it? In Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 and 13. You know, when we became children of his, we put off the old man, and now we are walking as new creatures in Christ. So some things in which we said that in the past, it's going to be hard for me to forgive them. Now, I want you to hear that again. It's going to be hard for me to forgive them. But it did not, that person did not say, I'm not going to forgive them. It said it's going to be hard. Just because it's hard doesn't mean it's impossible. It's different from that man said, I'm not going to forgive them. Oh, that's the wrong attitude. If you proclaim to be a child of God, you need to forgive when someone asks you to forgive them. You're no longer living according to the world. You're living according to what Christ would have you to live, or how Christ would have you to live. Colossians 3, verse 12. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if anyone has a complaint against another, listen to what it says now. If any has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Now, if you don't open your mouth, no one is ever going to know that you have done something to offend them. Or no one is ever going to know that they have done something to offend you. So you need to open up your mouth. Let that person know what you have done is offensive to me. And if they have offended you in any other way besides by God's word, then they need to ask for forgiveness. But if you're offended by God's word, you're the one that need to ask for forgiveness, because his word is not going to change. So don't tell someone you offended me by telling me the truth. But if you offend in any other manner and that person come to you and tell you about that, you need to ask for forgiveness. Very clear. Forgiving others is the measure of our forgiveness. We already read that. If someone forgives you, you forgive them. If you don't forgive, you will not be forgiven. So forgiving others is the measure of our forgiveness. Think about your forgiveness for a moment. Think about how you have forgiven others. And then think about that man that you said, I'll never forgive him. If you never forgive him, guess what's not going to happen? You're not going to get into heaven. It's just that clear, isn't it? Because this is what we're talking about. God's forgiveness is on what we ask of him. But then we must show forgiveness as he has shown forgiveness to us. But if we're holding a grudge against somebody and we say we're going to take this to our grave, you're not going to get into heaven. It is just that clear. You mean to tell me if I don't forgive him, I'm not going to get into heaven? Yes. Well, I guess heaven won't be my home. That's the wrong attitude. Wrong attitude. Go ahead and forgive them because they have asked you to forgive them. Forgiveness is not ignoring the sin. In the book of Luke chapter 17, verse 3, you know, a lot of times that's what we can do. Oh, let's just overlook that. Let's ignore that and maybe, just maybe, it'll go away. It's not a wart. It ain't going to just go away. It's not a cold sore. It's just not going to go away. You need to do what the Bible says. Ignoring sin is not forgiveness. Luke chapter 17 and the verses 3. Pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. Isn't that clear? If your brother sins, rebuke him. Don't just say, oh, like we say about kids sometimes. Oh, they just going through a phase. Sin is not a phase, my friends. Sin is transgression of the law. Sin is against the order of God. Sin is what separates us away from God. We can't just ignore it. The Bible says, if he sins, if your brother sins, rebuke him. And there's ways that you can do that. Now, you can be nice to him, Gary. You can speak soft to him. And sometimes they'll be like, oh, man, if that's the way he feels about it, he's really not going to change. But then when you just go and you just grab him and you jerk him up and you say, look, now that's a sin. Quit doing that. That's what it takes sometimes, isn't it, Gary? Yes, no, maybe. All depends. And too many people here bigger than you are going to come up to you and jack you up like that. No one will agree. But we must understand this, that if we do not rebuke that person is going to think everything is okay. Well, he saw me doing it. He didn't say anything. She saw me doing it. She didn't say anything. Does it make it right? The next man need to come along, and they need to rebuke that person. And when that person see that this is a sin, then they need to change. The Bible says, if he does what? If he repents, forgive him. That's the only time God is going to forgive us, when we repent. So if God forgives when a person repents, we must forgive as well. But forgiveness is not ignoring the sin, nor is it putting anybody on probation. Oh, they done it before. I bet you they're going to do it again. We're going to watch them for a while. Isn't that crazy? You know, we don't have any probation officers in here, do we? No one's raising their hand. No, we don't have any probation officers in here. Don't, Sister Attorney, don't even try it. Don't even try it. But we need to understand this, that that's the way we treat some people when they come and they confess a sin. We put them on probation. Mm-hmm. We put them on probation. Not God. We do. God pardons sin. We put them on probation. Oh, let's just watch them for a while. What you watching for? They've already asked for forgiveness. Won't you forget about it? Won't you go on with your life? Because somebody, if you're watching them, somebody's watching you. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and the verses 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and the verses 7. Let's go to verse 5. Now, if anyone has caused pain, he has caused it not to me, but in some measure, not to put it too severely, to all of you. For such a one, in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, we now in verse 5, reading the latter part, or verse 6, for such a one, the punishment by the majority is enough. So you should rather turn to forgive and comfort him, or he may be overwhelmed by excessive sorrow. When someone comes back and they confess a sin, we should welcome them with open arms and tell them, God has forgiven you. We will continue to pray for you that you may be strengthened. If you need anything, give me a call. If I can help you out in any way, give me a call. But then we have to be limited by the way we say that as well, because sometimes they'll call us up and they'll ask for something that has nothing to do with what they really need.
So we have to let them know, if I can assist you in the problem that you've been having, give me a call and I'll be glad to talk to you about that. Or I'll be glad to listen to you about that. But we do not put them on probation. We do not put them on probation. We don't say, well, we're going to wait and see what they're going to do. It's not limited. Forgiveness is not limited. We can't say, well, you know, I'm going to forgive you this time, but if you ever do it again, I'm not going to be able to forgive you. Is that what the Bible teaches? Is that what Jesus taught? In the book of Matthew chapter 18, verse 21. 18, verse 21. Find these words. Then Peter came up and said to him, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me? And I forgive him. As many as seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times, but 70. Seven times. Wow. Lord, you mean to tell me I need to forgive him that many times? How many times is he going to come and sin against me? How many times do I have to forgive him? However many times it takes in order for you to get your life in order or keep your life in order for him to get his life in order and keep it in order. You know, some people don't ask for forgiveness because we don't know how to forgive. Isn't that sad? We're causing this person to stumble. We're causing this person to give up hope because we will not forgive them. You wonder sometimes when a person leaves a congregation why they never return, because we do not know how to forgive properly. We know how to forgive, but not properly. Because when we forgive people, a lot of times, we really don't do it the way we're supposed to. We retaliate against them. We do things that God is not pleased with. And here we need to find that forgiveness is not just relieving the sinner of responsibility. What does that really mean? Let's go to Luke chapter 23, verse 34. Luke chapter 23, verse 34. God's word is very clear on the subject of forgiveness. Why do we not accept it? Why do we not do what we're supposed to? Why do we not take his word and say, hey, I'm going to practice these things? Find in Luke 23, 34. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they cast lots to divide his garments. You know, as we think about Jesus, Jesus could have done many things on the cross. He could have called a legion of angels to save him. He could have asked God to strike them down. He did not retaliate against them. He did not allow them to be relieved from their responsibility. But he, in turn, asked the Father, forgive them, for they knew not what they were doing. Now, in this case here, what happened later was Peter preached unto them the gospel message, and then they asked, what must they do when they were pricked in their hearts? He did not ignore the sin. He wasn't willing to put them on probation. He wasn't going to limit their forgiveness or his forgiveness toward them. This is our Lord and Savior. Remember, God has forgiven, so must we. We must do this because it is pleasing to him. And when God forgives, he does what? He blots out the sin. Not man. Oh, you think I'm going to ever forget that? No. I remember how she treated me. I remember how he treated me. I remember what my kids done. I remember what my boss done. Let him do it one more time and see what I do. What if God acted like that? Where would we be right now? I want to ask this question, though. What if some spouses did that to one another? How many marriages would still be together right now? Brother Synopsis, how long you been married? I'm sorry. My wife told me about asking people that question on the spot like that. 58 years. I'm glad you had the right answer. Is that right, Sister Bell? Just nod your head. Yes. All right, then. You safe, brother. But what if the first mistake he ever made, she wouldn't have forgiven him for that? They wouldn't have all them youngers running around right now. So we have to understand the importance of forgiveness. If God didn't send his son, if he didn't blot out those sins of those people way back when, we wouldn't be here today worshiping him, thanking him for sending his son in order to die for the sins of the world, in order for us to be forgiven of our sins. T. to be added to the body by doing what he wanted us to do, confessing his son, is the son of the living God. And being washed, heaven, I was saying, is washed away. Forgiveness blots out our sins. In Acts chapter 3 and the verse is 19. Acts 3 and the verse is 19. Repent, therefore, and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out. You're a child of God now. You do something wrong. The Bible says, repent, so that God can put you on probation. Is that what the Bible says? No, it does not. Repent, therefore, and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out. See, it's one thing to say, I'm going to repent. But he says, not only repent, but turn back. Because if you do not turn back, merely all you merely have done is report it. I got caught. Man, no, I got to tell them I'm sorry for doing what I'm doing. But I don't want to change. Repent and turn back. That's what the scripture says. Why? That your sins may be blotted out. God, he forgets the sin. He forgets it. And when we say that God forgets the sin, God knows everything. But God will not throw that sin back up in your face like man will. I remember you did that last week. But don't you also remember I asked for forgiveness for that? Well, they forgave you. God forgave you. But I still remember. Why are you bringing it back up? Why are you bringing it back up? You know, a lot of times people bring things back up because they want us to continue down that path. Isn't that sad? Even though we've done something against them, they bring it back up. Maybe they love you sinning against them. So therefore, they keep bringing it back up. But every time they bring it back up, you sin against them, you ask for forgiveness. They're supposed to forgive if you ask. Make sure that you ask, and you ask with the right attitude. And if they say they forgive you, but really they don't, they're going to put you on probation. The ball is still in their court. They're the ones that can have to give an account for it. But our God forgets the sin. Hebrews chapter 8 and the verses 12. I will be merciful toward their iniquities, against their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more. I will remember their sins no more. That's what we need to understand. This is God. He will not remember our sins anymore if we ask for forgiveness. If you don't ask for forgiveness when that book is open, shame on you. Shame on you. Your name is not going to be in the book of life, but your name is going to be in a book where all of your sins are listed. Never ask for forgiveness for that. That's all he needs to say. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. He don't need to tell you that you committed any other sin except for the one that you did not ask for forgiveness for. Doesn't hold sin against us. That's our God. Receives back the sinner who repents. Receives back the sinner who repents. What does it mean he received them back? It means that they were healed in the beginning and they did something to separate themselves from him. But if you ask for forgiveness, he will receive them back. Just as we do, when someone asks for forgiveness, we receive them back into our midst. In fellowship with this local congregation, with this local work, we receive them back. Well, you know, I don't think we should receive them back. Well, it's not for you to think that. Why refuse somebody that God accepts? Because they have asked for forgiveness. We need to do as God has done. Luke chapter 15, verse 20. Luke chapter 15, verse 20. And he arose and came to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. The son understood. The Bible is very clear on this, and he wants us to understand as well what the son understood, the meaning to ask for forgiveness. What does it really mean? Who did you sin against? I've sinned against heaven and I've sinned against you. He's asking for forgiveness. And when that happens, the father had already ran to him, had compassion up and hugged him and kissed him on his neck. But the son was like, whoa, wait, I've done something wrong. Don't just accept me back into your midst, but let me tell you, I have sinned against heaven and against you. See, a lot of times we fail to get people to really realize and understand that they have sinned because of the way we treat them. A lot of times we treat them like nothing has ever happened, like they have never done anything wrong. No, we need to point that sin out to them. The father didn't have to say anything. The son realized he had sinned when he left home and what he had done when he got out there. And he came to his senses and he came back. I believe there's a lot of people that need to come back and do the things that are right. The father says, as he forgave him, as the son said, I am no longer worthy to be called your son. In verse 22, but the father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe and put it on and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet and bring the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and celebrate. Verse 24, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to celebrate. Oh, it's a good thing when a sinner comes home. We need to welcome them. We need to understand the importance of making them feel like they're part of the family once again. We can't force the feeling upon them, but we need to let them know the importance of them coming back home. Been out there in the world too long. It's time to go back home. And when a man makes that up in his mind to do such a thing, we should welcome them when they understand the importance of asking for forgiveness. The power to forgive. It comes from one of our own, forgiveness. Be compassionate, having received compassion. Being compassionate because we have received compassion. In the book of Luke, chapter 6, in the verses 36. Oh, it's hard sometimes, isn't it, to show someone, your enemy, that you love them. To show your enemy that you care for them. To show your enemy that you're willing to forgive them. It's hard sometimes. But as I said earlier, it's not impossible. It is not impossible. Luke chapter 6 in the verses 36. Be merciful even as your Father is merciful. See, we need to have mercy upon people. Oh, don't beat them up too bad. Beat them up, but not too bad. Have a little mercy on them. See, when God punishes us, he don't punish us to death. He punishes us so that we may wake up and realize that we need forgiveness. Now, if he just killed us in our sin, what good would that do? He wants us all to repent. He wants us all to come to the knowledge of his son, Jesus Christ. He wants us all to be faithful. But if he killed us in our sin like he did Ananias and Sapphira, what good is that going to do him? Oh, man, I saw what he was doing, and he just dropped dead. You know, that happened in order for them to realize that God means what he says. Means what he says. And we can use that, and we can look at that and understand that when we go through things in life and we say that I am being punished by God, God wants us to wake up. He wants us to realize. He wants us to repent. He wants us to ask for forgiveness. But he also tells us once again, be merciful even as your Father is merciful. He's merciful to us. We could all probably say right now, most of us anyway, let me say it like that, without a shadow of a doubt, that we should not be here right now because of some sin that we committed. Right now, we could say that. But God has been merciful to us. He did not give us what we deserved, which was death. He has given us the opportunity to live. And so let us live pleasing unto him. Mercy received, then denied in the book of Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18, verse 21 through 35. I'm not going to read that whole thing, but I want you to understand that our God is true. Our God is a God that does what he says he's going to do. Here we find in Matthew chapter 18, verse 21, the parable of the unforgiven servant. I believe that there are times where people need to be punished about something, but then we find, as God has done, that he delivers them away. They have received mercy, but then when we comes our turn in order to forgive someone, we say, there's no mercy for you. We say like the hangman says in an old Western, may God have mercy upon their soul. Well, you didn't give them time to get their life right, but yet you're saying, may God have mercy upon their soul. No, they have already lived their life. They're going to be judged according to what they have done, just as we are going to be judged according to what we have done. But as God has forgiven us, we need to understand the forgiveness, the power to forgive others. Simon did not see his son or his sin as his need for forgiveness. But you know what happens? When it's pointed out, we should wake up and we should say, I need to do something different than what I'm doing. Let's look at this for a second. In Luke chapter 7, verse 36. Luke chapter 7, and the verse is 36. We start there again. It said, Luke chapter 7, verse 36. One of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she learned that he was reclined at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment, and standing behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is. Who is touching him, for she is a sinner. She's a sinner. She, you know, we sometimes feel like that. Why is he over there talking to him? What is he doing down there? What is she doing over there? See, sometimes what we need to do is we need to mind our own business. Let those people do the work that they have been called to do. And that is to talk to the sinner, not being afraid to get down in the trenches with the sinner in order to get them to understand that we are there to help them out of the situation they've gotten themselves in. Jesus, this woman, as the Bible says in verse 40, and Jesus answered, said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he answers, say it, teacher. A certain moneylender had two debtors, one owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debt of both. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon answered, the one, I suppose, for whom he canceled the larger debt. And he said to him, you have judged rightly. This woman, a woman of the city, she came in, she wet his feet with her tears, wiped them with the hairs of her head. She didn't want to face him because she understood that she was a sinner. But you know, the power that Christ had to forgive her of her sins, that's what we need to understand. We start talking about forgiveness. Sometimes words don't even need to be spoken. Action is what the Lord is looking for. Verse 47, therefore I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little. Forgiveness, the power to forgive. The merciful obtain mercy. In the book of Matthew chapter 5 and the verse is 7. The merciful obtained mercy. Matthew chapter 5 and the verse is 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Shall receive mercy. Are you willing today to receive mercy? Are you willing today to forgive someone of their sin that they have committed against you when they come and ask? I'm not asking anyone here. The Lord is not asking anyone here to forgive someone before they ask for forgiveness. He's not asking that. Jesus asked, Father, forgive them for they know not what they're doing. But yet he did not say, you don't have to do anything. Peter, on the day of Pentecost, don't tell them that they need to repent because I already asked the Father to forgive them. He did not say that. We need to understand that until a person asks for forgiveness, we can't forgive them. God is not going to forgive them. So asking for forgiveness is the key. If you're here this evening and you have a problem with anybody, go to that person, talk to that person. Give that person not an opportunity to explain, but give that person an opportunity to ask you to forgive them. And be willing to forgive them when they ask. If you're here and you're not a Christian and you want to become one, the opportunity is given to you today to come and ask God or confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, to have your sins washed away, to be forgiven of those past sins, to rise out of the watery grave, to walk a newness of life. That opportunity is yours. Maybe you're here and you are a child of God already, but you have strayed away from the fold. Do as the prodigal son did. Come back, ask for forgiveness, and be forgiven, that we all may live in harmony together. If you're here and you're subject to the invitation, we ask you to please come as we stand and sing.